manufacturing electricity. That's why they blocked effectively nuclear power. You know, it doesn't pollute, but that doesn't matter. The reality is that there are people who believe that there are too many people in the world. We're using up their natural resources, and we've got to eliminate a large part of the population and lower the living standards of those who remain. Well, with that as a background, let's get to our special subject this morning. We have with us Dr. Joe Douglas, who's been with intelligence work for many years back in Washington, D.C. He's retired now, but he's written a book called Red Cocaine. He's written another book called Betrayed, the story of the POWs and how we abandoned them in Vietnam. And we do carry that book, but I will tell you a little later how to get his book, Red Cocaine, because his basic thesis is, you know, we have certainly a worldwide drug epidemic. The communists were involved. But drug trafficking is being protected by our own government. And on one hand, we're waging a war on drugs. On the other hand, we're protecting this war. And we're perpetuating the war. It's like the war in Vietnam or the war in Afghanistan, wars we're fighting to lose. Well, go ahead and pick up the story, Dr. Douglas, and appreciate you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with you. And this this drug problem seems to be coming up in the newspapers again. And it seems to go into hiding after they get some new information that stirs it up. And then after several years, they find out that the problem has actually gotten worse, and they start giving it publicity. And we've heard a tremendous amount of publicity over the past month. And before that, it was very little information out in the on the television or in the newspapers. I almost thought the problem had gone away, but of course I knew it hadn't. And this came home to me very poignantly about 3 weeks ago when I was asked to come up to Detroit and give a talk on the nature of illegal drugs and what's behind the problem. As you know, and many people have begun to read, Detroit has really had an enormous problem there. The crime and the drugs seem rampant. Unemployment is high. There's all sorts of houses on the market being repossessed. Just as it really, for a what used to be a premier industrial city, it is now turned into what it looks like closer to a basket case. So much so that actually there was an announcement by the Ford Foundation that was being embarrassed because they had sort of walked away from Michigan and forgot what their roots were, but they were going to throw in $25 million in economic revitalization into the southeast Michigan area, which, of course, is focused on Detroit. One of the very interesting things about this is that struck me, and I'm sure it'll strike many of your readers, is how are they going to forge an economic revitalization when you have crime and drug use going through the roof? I mean, who wants to come into the city? Raises a real question in my mind. It seems that we have to get a handle on the drugs problem and the crime problem, which is tied to the drugs, before they really can forge an economic revitalization. It's sort of the drugs and the crimes that drive people out of the city and bring about its demise as a vibrant city area that people like to go to and shop and work and enjoy the movies. It just doesn't happen when you have a tremendous amount of crime and drugs that are right in that area.
That's very, very true. But, of course, with the elite head on shipping all of our manufacturing jobs out of the country, there's nothing we can manufacture here cheaper than they can manufacture in China using our technology and our machines. How are you going to bring an economic revitalization to a city if you can't do it through manufacturing? Certainly if it's any sort of software development, they can do that as cheaply, far more cheaply or economically in India or China. So there's really very little hope for a city like Detroit of being economically revitalized. Talk about all you will when our leaders have no intention of solving the globalization problem. So really, you feel so sorry for the people there because they live a life of hopelessness, and I see no solution for them.
Yes, and you hit the nail on the head, because people really are demoralized. The problem gets so bad, and the reason why, of course, is the government has taken over the role of solving the problem, and they're spending now probably about much over $20 billion a year just doing that very thing.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Joe Douglas talking about the problems of drugs in America. They're only going to get worse.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Hi, this is Michael Golden. Danny and I would like to invite you to join us for a special night of Messianic praise and worship music and dance. It'll be this Saturday, April the 7th at 7 p.m. The place, 3J's, Johnstown Java and Jams here in Johnstown, Colorado. Seating is limited, so you do need to make advance reservations. There will be a $7 love offering taken at the door. So we invite you to join us once again, April the 7th, 7 p.m., 3J's. See you there.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6000.
Well, I'm standing back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joe Douglas, who recently gave a talk in Detroit on the drug epidemic that is sweeping that area. But it's not just that area. Drugs are becoming endemic in all of our major cities. Go ahead, pick the story up.
Well, the thing we were talking about just before we took a break there, Dr. Stan, was who's behind the drug problem and what really causes it. Now, it's very complicated. There's a lot of factors involved. But one of the most important factor and the hardest for people to believe is that the reason we have a drug problem that continues to grow and grow is that in reality it has been politically protected. Now, this is so serious because people let the government, they're looking to the government to solve the problem. And the reason it grows so much is because we have been used not to tackling things ourselves, but looking forward to the government, because the government's spending $40 billion a year to solve the problem. And they make a lot of publicity that shows how hard they're working. But in reality, when you really dig into it, you find that they are in reality protecting the drug problem. Now, this is one of the things that all of us have a hard time believing and getting our head around it is what our government is really doing in action, while in words it's exactly the opposite. And every now and then you have an insider who comes out and actually tells the truth, and it never fails to be very revealing. And this happened back in 1990. 1989, I guess it was. George Bush had just come in as president, and one of the first things he did was to fire William Von Raab, who was head of customs. Now, Von Raab was one of the very, very few people that was actually interested in trying to stop the flow of drugs. And he, of course, had a primary role, in a sense, as customs official. His resignation letter was blistering. And let me just read your listening audience a few of the quotes out there, because they really describe the drug problem and why it exists and continues to grow in about four sentences. The first one was, he said, "For the past 8 years, the State Department has objected to every effort to control foreign drug production, thus earning them the title of the conscientious objectors in the war on drugs." Now, that tells the story. The second thing he said was that Treasury officials have a distinct lack of interest in the drug efforts of the Customs Service. Now, this is really telling. Now, the size of the drug revenues in our country alone were really around $150 billion negative, or minimum. It could have been, and may, and probably is today, much over $200 billion. That's, you know, $150 to $200 billion a year of unreported income. And the Treasury officials have a distinct lack of interest in it? How could that be? But that's the case. The third thing he said was that the Department of Justice, now that's where the Drug Enforcement Agency was located, are only interested in protecting their turf. In other words, all they want to do is propagandize what wonderful work they're doing so that they can get more money, and making sure that nobody's going to intrude upon the money that they get in the Department of Justice for this. Even though almost every case ends up being thrown out because all of a sudden somebody says, well, we can't pursue this drug kingpin because he's really, it would expose some CIA operations. Two wonderful books written with case after case example of exactly that by Mike Levine, Deep Cover and Big White Lie, and that's the way it happens. And for the sophisticated side of this thing, the last item that Willie Van Robb included in his resignation letter was the following. He said, "Maybe it is time for the war on drugs to take its place as our nation's top priority, to enable it to interfere with other interests, such as banking and third world debt." Now, that tends to catch us all surprise, and we don't know what to make of it, because it's really sort of almost written in a code. Let me tell you, you know, and your audience, the explanation I was given when I asked him what he really meant by that. The explanation is really very simple. You know, during the Reagan administration, and Von Robb was customs commissioner throughout that entire administration, during the Reagan administration, we had a tremendous increase in cocaine. That's when the whole crack cocaine epidemic, you know, reached its peak. And Customs was doing its best to try and constrain that flow and stop the production down Latin America. And every action they undertook was blocked within our own administration and through coordination with some other Latin American administrations. And the reason why was because that cash flow that was created by the cocaine was needed by the Latin American countries to service the Latin American debt that was owed to the big New York banks. And those were the interests that prevented us from doing anything, from stopping that massive cocaine epidemic.
In other words, this whole thing could have been stopped and was not stopped, and it was intentionally allowed to continue.
That's right. For economic reasons and for other reasons. Nobody cared about the drugs coming into our country, at least nobody in the government, and many of them wanted it to continue because it was to their economic benefit.
So we've got a war on drugs, and we're specifically not trying to win it, but we can't let the American people know that. They're supposed to believe we're doing everything we can to stop the inflow of drugs.
That's right. And one of the things that is most alarming about this, when you really get into the stuff, is that one of the things we're doing, we're letting the drug operation continue. The reason why we are is because we don't want anything to interfere with what our great friends, the communists in Russia and China, were doing. In other words, we protected the flow of drugs for the sake of the communists, which goes along with what we were talking about several months ago in this enforced silence about the crimes of communism as a matter of official U.S. policy and media policy. Now, that sounds a little bit difficult also for people to understand, so let me just throw out a couple of examples. Now, during the Vietnam War, toward the end of it, there was a tremendous epidemic of drug use in the U.S. military. It was so bad that in the 1970s, the men lost to drugs exceeded our combat losses. So you can see how bad it was. Well, one of the first things that was done in the Nixon administration was to send a very respected, one of the most respected generals from the Marine Corps, General Lew Walt, over to Vietnam to sort of see what was happening. He came back with a very simple message. He said that the drugs there were coming in from China. And moreover, he said that it was not to make money. It was to use them as weapons of war against our military men, all the boys and women that were over there. Now, when they heard that in the White House, they gave Lew Walt a very simple order. They told him to forget about the report and never mention it to anybody. He later remarked to a good friend of mine who ran across him in the airport and asked him about it. He said it was the most damnable order he had ever received in his entire military career. And what was it done? Why was it done? Because they didn't want the bad news about China being a major drug trafficker to surface. And that's what Anslinger, the head of the Bureau of Narcotics, the only other person I ever ran into that was really sincerely interested at the top in the drug problem, had said back in 1951, when we all of a sudden had a great increase in drug use in America, and he said that the big drug trafficker was not organized crime, it was Peking. And, of course, he was one of the first person that was asked to retire when the Kennedy administration took over. Now, on top of the Lew Walt episode, there was another examination taking place at that same time, and the CIA wanted to get in the act, and so they had a group taking over to look at where all the drugs from Southeast Asia were coming from. And I talked to the person who was a member of that team. He said that the drugs were mainly coming in from China. He said, we had so much information on that we even knew the names of the mules that were bringing down the drugs from China through the mountainous areas of Laos. Well, they came back, they wrote up their report, and that's when the Golden Triangle was christened. And the Golden Triangle was a big triangle where one of the angles was up in Yunnan province, even by beyond the capital of that province, Kunming, and then it also included parts of Thailand and Laos. That was the Golden Triangle. Well, their report went into the White House, and about 18 months later, it came out, and my friend who had been on the study said, you know, I was amazed when that study came out. It wasn't sanitized that much. What was really done is the drawing we gave. He said they took the triangle and they rotated it and lowered it so as to eliminate China from the Golden Triangle. Yet China was the main producer of drugs and distribution artist in that whole area of the Golden Triangle. The White House eliminated it from that triangle because they didn't want anybody knowing about the role of China. And to this day, China is never mentioned in the Golden Triangle. They're still covered up. Kissinger, at that same time, also stopped reconnaissance flights over that area that were mapping out the drug fields. And he also sent a memo around to all the other government agencies saying there have been some rumors about this, about drugs in China, and let me tell you that those are all false rumors, and we don't want that false information being propagated in the government, so keep quiet about it. I remember reading that memo. I couldn't believe it. But we had to protect China. We didn't want anything to interfere with what we were doing with China in terms of.
And this was what? This was during the Nixon years then?
This was right at the beginning of the Nixon years. This was right at the beginning of the initiative to China. And that's why it was cut off, because we didn't want anything to harm our setting up all the business that would lead to China's current military capability and economic prosperity, which has come all at the expense of the middle class in America.
And, of course, our jobs are going over there to China. They're being intensely sent over. The future of our children is being sacrificed, and it's all part of a long-range plan. Our leaders have always been, of course, doing everything they could to protect the ruthless, tyrannical, genocidal regime that controls China. So,
yeah. And this was done right when the drug problem was being recognized and was really taking off, and we could have nipped it in the bud.
Sure.
You know, a real great example was that the DEA innocently asked NSA if they could help them get data. Now, DEA was the Drug Enforcement Agency. It was newly created at that time. And NSA is the National Security Agency, which does all the eavesdropping on communications. Now, you can't move drugs without communications. I mean, that's an essential part, as essential as money laundering, to the drug problem. And the NSA guy in charge of this project, Frank Raven, had mentioned several years later that they got involved in it, and he said it was almost a zero-cost operation because they had all the equipment already in place to track the conversations on the drug flow. And they started working at it, and they figured out where the phone calls were coming from and all that sort of stuff, and they had succeeded in triggering a whole bunch of drug busts that the enemy didn't know how we were getting to it, but we were able to intercept the shipments of drugs. And he said, you know, we could have cleaned up that whole mess with very little cost. And then somebody said, well, you know, the phone calls, you got somebody on the other end of the line, they're in the United States, maybe we'll get into some trouble doing this. So they went to the NSC and the CIA and the NSC, and you see, of course the CIA takes its orders from the NSC, and said, well, we want your support to direct us to do this in writing, because otherwise we might get into trouble. And they refused to do it. So they closed down the operation. And Frank was talking out because he felt it was such a crime, because right at the time of the just get involved at no cost, they could have shut it down. The CIA stopped them and the NSC stopped them.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Joe Douglas.
Stop living.
Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Veterans, stop renting and start owning. Jamie LaRue with Destiny Lending here. Take advantage of today's buyer's market and buy a home with a low-interest VA-backed mortgage. It's a benefit you earned. For 10 years, I've had the honor of helping veterans utilize their VA benefit. Call 970-214-1374 and get more information on your VA loan and start looking for a home of your own. 970-214-1374.
I'm speaking with Angela Smith with Destiny Lending. Manufactured homes have been difficult to finance. Has that changed?
Yes. We have programs for up to 100% financing on single and double wide, with or without land. Rural homes also qualify. Stop paying outrageous interest rates just because you own a manufactured home.
So call Angela Smith with Destiny Lending, 970-988-3840. That's 970-988-3840.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis.
Harris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Harris Survival.
The Kelly Healing Arts Center, located in Fort Collins, provides exceptional individualized natural health treatment plans utilizing the best in natural therapies. If you are looking for quality health professionals that will listen to your needs, give honest advice, and provide quality health care, then call 970-223-7425. Again, 970-223-7425. To learn more about the Kelly Healing Arts Center, go to kindermedicine.com. Discover the best of what natural medicine has to offer.
Cider, address where people could order your book, Red Cocaine. We do carry your other book on Betrayed, but we probably should carry Red Cocaine, but for the time being, where can people get copies?
Yeah, there's the publisher of the second edition, which is the best one to get, is Edward Harle. That's H-A-R-L-E. That's a London publisher. And that's carried on Amazon.com, where people can order it from. And if they have trouble there, they can just go on the Internet to EdwardHarle.com.
And all right, fine.
And that are the two easiest ways to do that.
It's called Red Cocaine, a classic book on the drug trade, and what you will never learn from other sources. So, I mean, here's another example of how our government has consistently helped the communists. But, of course, you're supposed to believe communism is the enemy. No, communism is the byproduct. Go right ahead, pick up the story.
Well, you know, the two administrations we've been talking about here, Dr. Stan, were the Reagan administration, where the quote from Willy Von Raab came, and the Nixon administration. Now, those are very interesting because they're the two administrations that had done their best to create this image of being very tough on drugs. But when you learn about it and you dig into it, you find out that there's nothing probably more accurate than what John Mitchell said when he said, "Don't listen to what we say, watch what we do." And you see a tremendous difference in the two. Now, another illustration from the Nixon administration at the same time as the Vietnam problems we talked about is it's sort of like an example that's similar to knocking your elbow. You know, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. It hurts so much in a funny way. And that's a situation with Bulgaria. Now, when the Nixon administration took over, within a year, we knew that Bulgaria was trafficking in drugs and money laundering as a state activity. The CIA had a report that had concluded that. The Drug Enforcement Agency had its own report, which had reached the same conclusions based on intelligence. And we even had a defector from Bulgarian intelligence who brought along documentations that confirmed that. Well, now, let me tell you what our State Department and customs at that time did with that information. They sent a team over to the capital of Bulgaria, Sofia, to talk with the Bulgarian customs people, which is a part of Bulgarian intelligence, and they offered to the Bulgarians to teach them about our techniques for catching drug traffickers so they could better police their borders, totally closing their eyes to the fact that this was a Bulgarian state operation. Well, the Bulgarians couldn't believe what they were hearing. They had everything they could do to stop from laughing when this offer was made. So they took it under advisement and talked to the other satellites and came back to the U.S. and said, "Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea to us." Because, of course, they were going to get more information on how our people trying to stop the flow of drugs did things so that they could better increase their own efforts to supply drugs into our country. Well, it was about 5 years before Customs and the State Department finally began to conclude that maybe the program wasn't working so well because they were giving them all this information, never getting anything returned, nor learning that the Bulgarians had ever taken any action on any of the information. Unbelievable. You know, Ed Epstein is a very excellent historian. He got his doctorate, I think, at Cornell or Harvard. I forget which one. But very excellent historian, and one who got very interested in things like deception and politics and some other things. But he did an examination of the Nixon administration in detail, and he wrote a book on it called The Agency of Fear. And I talked to him, and he told me, you know, he said in doing this entire study, he had never run into any indication that there was anybody in that administration that cared about the impact of drugs on our citizens and really doing something to stop it. Their only interest was in what political gain could they gain from the politicization of the drug problem, and what growth in their own organizations and budget they could get by appearing to fight the drug problem. And that has been sort of a characteristic of all the administrations, which, of course, is why it never gets better. We always think that they're working hard. We have to excuse their lack of success because they say, well, you know, if the people didn't have such a thirst for drugs, we wouldn't have that problem. And we all know that the problem is caused by this demand for drugs, not by its supply. And, of course, that is disinformation, deception, and what I would call a blatant lie, because anybody that's been in this problem area knows that what causes the problem is the demand. It's not the demand, it's the supply. And people have to take the supply, the crooks, the criminals, and work that to make it a demand, and that takes effort. And that was one of the first things that was found out before the opium wars in China. When the British started trafficking drugs and increasing greatly a supply of drugs to send into China, and they couldn't sell any because there wasn't any demand. So they had to give these things away to the various criminal organizations in China, and after about a year and a half to two, they had actually built up a demand then for the stuff because people try them, they're innocent, they want to find out what it is, you know, they're curious, and then all of a sudden they're hooked. And that's where the demand comes from. It's the supply and the careful marketing of it.
Most people have forgotten the opium wars were not fought to stop the trade of drugs. They were fought to allow the trade of drugs. As the British, those noble British people, you know, fought and defeated the Chinese so that they could bring opium into China.
That's right. And the key people that were involved was, number one, the banks that handled the money in it. Number two, the politicians that all improved it for the sake of the budget and the balance of payments. And the military forces that then protected the drug flow.
Sure.
And we have the same thing happening today, and has been happening since the beginning. And, of course, it's wonderful for the military because they increase their budget, and that gives them a chance to try out new techniques, but they never really capture anything. And the intelligence services have been into it up to their necks for a long time. As a matter of fact, in Vietnam, for example, the secret war in Laos cost actually 10 times as much as the budget said was being spent. And that excess was all being made up by the revenues from the drug trafficking that the CIA was involved in at the time. And that came to me from the executive office of the CIA. The director knew it, the deputy director knew it, the two key people in Congress knew it, and their chiefs of staff knew it who watched things, and everybody turned their head and remained silent about it because it was providing a nice flow of money into the U.S. intelligence community, which they liked.
And, of course, that was the subject of Monica Jensen Stevenson's book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, which is why the book was suppressed, why, of course, when it was reprinted in Canada, somebody bought up the publisher and just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of Monica Jensen Stevenson's book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. But we actually have copies of the book. We bought them secondhand, but they're in good shape. We have the book for you. I add my interviews with Monica Jensen Stevenson. Then we left behind.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Kelly Healing Arts Center, located in Fort Collins, provides exceptional, individualized natural health treatment plans utilizing the best in natural therapies. If you're looking for quality health professionals that will listen to your needs, give honest advice, and provide quality health care, call 970-223-7425. That's 970-223-7425. To learn more about Kelly Healing Arts Center, go to kindermedicine.com. Discover the best of what natural medicine has to offer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Joe Douglas, and we're talking about the complicity of high officials in the drug trade, and certainly no better place can this be seen today than in Afghanistan, where a country where we occupy it. I mean, we control most of Afghanistan, at least by day, and yet, of course, the poppy trade not only increases, the opium poppy crop increases with America controlling the country. We could spray, we could burn the fields, we could stop it tomorrow, and we're not doing it. And when asked why, oh, shucks, why the people would be unhappy because, you know, we were burning their crops. They need them to, to make money. And, well, why don't we help them plant other crops? Oh, we just don't have the money to do that. Oh, we're just going to let the opium be processed and sent out to Europe to corrupt the people there. And of course, the CIA is up to their neck in this drug trade. But we can't let the American people know that. After all, we're waging a war on drugs. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, that is, Dr. Stan. And, you know, there's one real good example here that I'd also like to throw out from the 80s, from the Reagan administration, because it really, there's a couple of books here that people need to read because they tell them what's happening here at home in our own state and what it means to them when they think about it in terms of what do you do when somebody's starting to create a crime or do something seriously bad about you or your family, who can you go to when you have the tremendous amount of corruption that we have in this country now? Raises a serious problem. You know, the drug problem itself is the cost of the drugs, the revenue, the illegal revenues, let's say, are now over $200 billion. All illegal, and that being the case, you know what that translates to, and it's immense corruption throughout all levels of the government and the financial powers and the courts, the justice system, and the police, of course. You can't find a major police force in the nation that hasn't been a corruption scandal over the past 10 years in one way or another. You know, it's serious. And the example really is what happened in Arkansas, and it's good because there's a couple books written on it. And the best one to get a feel for this is Boys on the Tracks by Merritt Loverett. And what happened there was a couple of teenagers that went out and they'd heard rumors about some night drops of drugs, and they wanted to, you know, went out for excitement, maybe get some free marijuana. Well, they got caught by the drug traffickers, shot and tied on the tracks and left for the train to run over them. And that began a crusade by a number of people, all of which eventually sort of dropped off, but led by the mother of one of the boys, and a journalist got involved, Mary Leverett, who wrote the book on it. And the long and the short was there was no accountability, no justice. You had every single state and federal agency in the area where there was one or two people that started getting interested in the money laundering taking place, massive amounts, and the cocaine coming into the country through Arkansas, massive amounts. And every time there was one person agency that would get interested, ultimately there might be a grand jury, in which case the whole testimony of the grand jury was neutralized in terms of what was presented, so they never brought a verdict, and all the evidence then was sealed under court order. None of it ever came of anything. All of the people who got interested eventually lost their jobs or were transferred or demoted, so that nobody was doing anything after a while. The two railroads on this whole operation, whether it was the IRS, the FBI, the attorneys, the state attorney, state police, all of the tracks went to one of two places. One, the governor's mansion. Number two, the vice president's mansion in Washington. And there's nothing that could be done. Now, later on, there were some hearings on the supply of the Contras into Nicaragua. And one of the things that came out, I couldn't believe when I read it, is that they had all these supplies run by contract operations. You know, they contracted to get some pilots to do it. That's the first signal. I mean, if you're going to run something like that, there's plenty of pilots around in the Air Force. You transfer them over to the CIA, as they've done it many times, and let them fly the stuff in, so it's their operation. But they didn't do that. What they did is they hired people who were testified by officials at the hearings I was talking about, as every single one of them was a known drug trafficker or under indictment for drug trafficking. These were the people that you hired to fly the planes in, and lo and behold, all the planes are coming back with plane loads of drugs by the tons. Some of them dropped off in Mississippi, some in North Carolina, and most of them up in Arkansas. And they were also involved in the shipment of lots of money laundering, too.
People like Barry Seal, I suppose.
Yeah, and there's another book on him. He's a key person, a wonderful book. Called Barry and the Boys by Dan Hofsicker.
Yeah, we carry that book.
And the first one that came out, and it was really one of the lead books in understanding the corruption that's going on in our administration before a lot of the data did come out, but that was compromised by Terry Reed.
Yes.
And another excellent book.
Unfortunately.
But the one that really will capture the people's attention, because it shows what problems you have if we allow this thing to grow in each of our states, we have nobody to turn to when there's trouble.
Sure.
Nobody. And this is that boy, the book, The Boys on the Tracks by Mara Leverett. And nobody has ever been found guilty for any of this stuff. It has all been swept under the rug. It is all quieted down when Clinton was running for office. And find anybody that suffered any grief other than a few minor players that sent to jail for short periods of time and eventually had gotten out.
And the FBI was in this, working right up to the very necks.
The IRS folded all their files on it. The Attorney General, the FBI, they're right in there protecting everything. The state police, there was a couple people, they got transferred, and one of them had to quit because they were messing in it.
Yeah, my friend Pat Matriciana put out a video on this, and he included the name of a couple of police officers at the insistence of a man that he thought was his friend. Turned out he was an FBI informant who fed him false information. He would put out a video so he'd get sued and destroyed his career. We're out of time, Joe. We can go on for hours. God bless. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Thanks, Dr. Sam.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In the self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, I'm back here on the American Freedom Network, and we carry, of course, the book, Barry and the Boys. In fact, on the front cover of the book is a picture of Barry Seal, who worked for the CIA and became the world's greatest drug smuggler of all time, until, of course, he was shot down and assassinated because he was an embarrassment to his handler, a man named George Herbert Walker Bush. Of course, we carry the book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, story of Monica Jensen Stevenson, a story of the men we abandoned in Vietnam, and we abandoned them, you know, certainly hundreds in Vietnam and well over 1,000 in Laos of CIA workers there, and Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon knew that. And some of them may be alive. I wonder how they feel about the American people who they went overseas to fight for, who really don't care about the fact that they live a life of slavery today, abandoned by our government, covered up by John McCain and John Kerry, both United States senators, in their investigation. We have the book Kiss the Boys Goodbye is very important, and you should get that along with the four-tape set, and you get a reduced price if you get them together, The Men We Left Behind. So, and then, of course, we carry the Monica Jensen second book. That was suppressed as well, Spite House. That's very economical. It's soft cover. But there's a four-tape set that goes with that. One Man Returned. It's the story of one man who came back from Vietnam and tried to tell about the thousands of others that were left behind, and how the government went out to destroy him and put him in prison. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Seal, and you'll actually hear my interviews with him. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set. Is there really a war on drugs? There's six interviews there. You'll hear my interview with Terry Reed, who actually tried to expose what was happening in drugs. He was working for the government and went to the highest levels. And what happened? They indicted him, not the drug smugglers. Is there really a war on drugs? If this is really going on, then your life, your property are not safe, and God is going to bring terrible judgment on our country, and I fear he is. America is the greatest purveyor of drugs in the world today because evil and wicked people have taken control of the reins of government. And you can see that beautifully portrayed in our great new DVD and you haven't seen it, you must get it. It's called Forbidden Secret. Comes with a syllabus, and you can get those at a reduced price by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You'll certainly want to see the new DVD, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. It's a sequel to Chris Pinto's excellent award-winning film, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And we have so much information. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. If you want to know about the coming war with Iran, you want to get our February newsletter. We'd be glad to send one free of charge, although you can get it on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's the February newsletter. It'll be posted, if it's not already posted, it'll be posted in the next day or so. Or if you'd like a free copy, call us at 1-800-544-8927. Begin making preparations. America is on the brink of disaster. And until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Talk to me. Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Hi, this is Michael Golden. Danny and I would like to invite you to join us for a special night of Messianic praise and worship music and dance. It'll be this Saturday, April the 7th at 7 p.m. The place? 3J's, Johnstown Java and Jams here in Johnstown, Colorado. Seating is limited, so you do need to make advance reservations. There will be a $7 love offering taken at the door. So we invite you to join us once again, April the 7th, 7 p.m., 3J's. See you there.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Union and where this is all going. It is getting very, in my humble opinion, this is getting very, very close to being done. We're finding out as we do, the more research I do on this, the more I'm alarmed at what is taking place right before our very eyes. And it alarms me even more that the American people are just sitting idly by and not, you know, not desiring to do anything about it. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to do open lines. Now, I've got, coming back from our break tonight, I've got a quote. Well, actually, I'll tell you what it is. It was a speech that was given by Ron Paul, who apparently is now throwing his hat in the ring to run for president under the Republican ticket, which I'm glad to hear. What I'm going to play is a little speech that he gave about his bid for president, but the content of what he said, I think, is very important. So I'm going to play that. I want you to hear that. It's a few minutes long, and I want you to hear it very carefully. Listen very carefully, because Ron Paul, in my estimation, just looking around at what is out there and what is interested in running for president, Ron Paul, I think, is our last best hope for maybe turning this country around. But keep in mind that my attitude about the last best hope is not good enough to turn this country around unless we, the people, start recognizing our role as opposed to the way the government wants us to perceive our role, and we have to start taking the country back. Now, again, there is a very serious problem at the federal level of Congress. There are indications that some people in Congress now are starting to catch an idea that where we're headed is not good. But that's not enough, folks. We need to, of course, lean heavily on our representatives and demand accountability, demand that they start working to dismantle NAFTA, CAFTA, and all of these trade agreements. Because, again, as I said, the more I delve into the trade agreements, the more I realize that these things are what is this is the problem. There's a systematic attempt here to dismantle our sovereignty without calling it over. You understand what's going on? It's a subtle deception. It's done with law, administrative laws. Jerry Corsi has pointed out in his research. They are basically taking us, dismantling us piece by piece, and turning us over to a global order comprised of foreigners far removed from the action here. And what's really frightening is that as I'm speaking to you right now, okay, March 30th of 2007, as I'm speaking to you right now, most states in the Union have signed off and have delivered all of their control, and including our control as the people, the citizens. They have turned over all this control to a far-removed centralized planning authority, a centralized court that will adjudicate, problems with this, in the course of economics. And what it will spell out, and we'll talk about that tonight, what it will spell out is the complete ultimate dissolution of our constitutional republic. So, with that in mind, we'll open up the lines tonight. The number is 303-355-6593. 303-355-6593. Web address, www.thenumber4aclosereloot.com. That's www.thenumber4aclosereloot.com. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back.
Economy, sanctuary for illegal aliens, national ID cards. These are all things that we've been warned about for years. Today, it's reality. We must rise up and get the information we need to fight off these intrusions to the security of America as we know it. It's not revolutionary, it's American. It's what every responsible citizen should do to protect our freedoms. For practical, uncensored, non-politically correct information, tune in to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin, daily right here on this station.
Here at A Closer Look, we continue our vast investigation into affairs from Colorado to the far reaches of the globe. But please, understand that running a radio program is very expensive. Help us stay on the air by donating via PayPal on our website at www.thenumber4aclosereloot.com. That's www.thenumber4aclosereloot.com. Also on the site are featured products that help support the show. So please, help keep this critical program on the air by visiting www.4aclosereloot.com. That's the number 4aclosereloot.com. Or for those not online, you can always send a donation by mail to P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. That's P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. Thank you for your support.
Of active listening to hear A Closer Look every day, and we know you have a life besides the radio show, but we don't want you to miss any of the critical information or great resources that are mentioned each day on A Closer Look. That's why we're launching the ACL Report. The ACL Report, a comprehensive overview of the most important information and the best resources from the broadcast each month. Information for subscribers that isn't even available on the Closer Look website. Your subscription will guarantee your copy of the ACL Report each and every month. Subscribe today at www.4aclosereloot.com. The ACL Report, a citizen's digest that will arm you for the fight. The ACL Report. Subscribe today. Are you feeling like a victim of the terrorist generation? Do you feel like everything nowadays seems to be focused on protecting us from the terrorists? Well, it would seem that even those that are supposed to be protecting us from the terrorists have adopted their way of communicating their message. You don't fight terrorism with more terrorism. It's that simple. You fight it with facts and truth. And you happen to be listening to a radio station right now that is dedicated to communicating those facts and truth in a responsible fashion. On this particular program, A Closer Look, you will hear facts and truth on a daily basis. Some of it will even rattle you to action, which is exactly our goal. We want you to act in your local's neighborhoods to promote truth and liberty in this constitutional republic. And we want you to insist on equal and constitutional application of the laws of your community. Now, if you need some encouragement, we invite you to tune in daily for A Closer Look with Michael Corbin. You'll get the truth, and you'll learn about the ways things are supposed to be operating in this constitutional republic.
You're listening to A Closer Look. Bringing reality into focus.
Now, if that's not enough, there is a lot more.
Your host, Michael Corbin.
And we continue with this edition of A Closer Look. Again, our lines are open. 303-355-6593. 303-355-6593. Web address, www.thenumber4. aclosterlook.com. That's www.aclosterlook.com. Now, as promised, we're going to get into this NAU, the North American Union business tonight, because it's something that I think poses a tremendous threat to our sovereignty and to our liberty. And again, we have got to make people aware of this. The audience in this radio, in the radio footprint of KHNC 1360, The Lion, and those who listen via the American Freedom Network, you folks are in the catbird seat, and I'll tell you why. Because there is no other, there are no other programs that I'm aware of that are going to the depth that we are, and the other hosts on this station, going to the depth that we are to expose what's really going on here. And at least, you know, one of the things I think that we have to do is, in order to make it understandable, we have to take the documents and we have to translate them, you know, into what I call the logistical dynamics of what is taking place. Because apparently it's not enough just to sit back and talk about the idea that these people are engineering our demise in our country. It's not enough to do that. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to kind of basically break it down for you, the logistics of what's taking place. Now, to that end, I found a little video clip of Ron Paul. Now, as you know, Ron Paul is a congressman out of Texas, the state of Texas. He's an absolutely patriotic American, and I am tickled, really tickled, to hear that he is running under the presidential, or he's running for the presidency under the Republican ticket, which I think gives us a lot more hope that somebody like him could probably prevail. However, this is something that is going to be an interesting, you know, race as it starts to unfold because, you know, the way that Bush has operated over the last two terms of his presidency, it's fair to say that through what he has done and the lack of activity or the lack of digging in their heels by the Republicans has completely just emaciated the Republican Party. And, of course, the Democrat Party, the Democratic Party, is not any better. However, it's like a revolving door. We see this going on. It's like the dialectic, okay? The right versus the left. So, you know, everybody out there, regardless of whether they're Republican or not, everybody's saying, well, I'm going to vote Democrat because, why? Because there's nothing better to vote for on the Republican side. Well, that, you know, that is an apathetic and a pathetic way of looking at things, my way of looking at it. It's nothing more than a cop-out because, again, we're being done in our country because there is a complete lack of any kind of concern or care about what's happening. So what I want to do, again, Ron Paul has announced that he's going to run for president. What I want you to listen to, though, is I want you to listen to his speech because, again, I think it frames out very well, very succinctly, and very, very clearly exactly what is taking place and what is at stake here. So let's go and listen to that.
Thanks for joining me. After serious consideration with my family and in response to many requests, I have agreed to form a presidential exploratory committee as a preliminary step to becoming a candidate in a Republican primary for the 2008 election. My concerns for the future of our country are deeply held. The Republican Party has floundered in its effort to shrink the size of government and restore our constitutional republic. Instead, in recent years, our deficits have exploded, entitlements are out of control, and our personal liberties are threatened. We have embarked on a dangerous and expensive foreign policy, acting as the world's policeman and nation builder. Very simply, we no longer can afford the extravagance of this ever-growing and intrusive government, both at home and abroad. Last year alone, our long-term obligations increased by $4.6 trillion. The problem seems overwhelming, but in reality, they are not complex. We only need the will to go forward with the solution. We have lost our way and strayed from the free society our founders secured for us in the Constitution. But there's no reason the principles that made us the greatest nation ever can't be restored. We merely need to respect and follow the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution, and elect leaders determined to stand firm in its defense. Liberty, once again, must become more important to us than the desire for security and material comfort. Personal safety and economic prosperity can only come as the consequence of liberty. They cannot be provided by an authoritarian government, To expect government to take care of us from cradle to grave undermines the principles of liberty. Returning to the dark ages of dictatorship is no substitute for resuming the most modern and grandest experiment known to man, promoting human liberty. By strictly limiting the arbitrary power of government, political and economic conditions today are at a crucial crossroads. A financial crisis is looming, and our foreign policy of empire building cannot last. Both conditions threaten our prosperity, safety, and above all, our liberties. The foundation for a police state has been put in place, and it's urgent. We mobilize resistance before it's too late. But today's problems need not lead to despair. Instead, we must become energized and use this time of turmoil to offer the American people the solution found in freedom in all that we do. We must reject the bureaucratic management of our lives and the economy. We stand on the threshold of a true revolution of ideas. As the welfare warfare state loses its steam, we now see how the seeds of the freedom movement over the past 40 years are starting to bear fruit. A nation under great stress is ripe for a change. A major change in direction is not a theoretical dream, but actually quite possible. Central planning is intellectually bankrupt, and it has bankrupted our country and undermined our moral principles. Respect for individual liberty and dignity is the only answer to government force, force that serves the politically and economically powerful. Our planners and rulers are not geniuses, but rather demagogues and would-be dictators, always performing their task with a cover of humanitarian rhetoric. The collapse of the Soviet system came swiftly and dramatically without a bloody conflict, surprising many. It came as no surprise, however, to the devotees of freedom who have understood for decades that socialism was doomed to fail. Communism, like all socialism, failed intellectually and failed practically. And so, too, will the welfare, warfare state fail. And then our cause will be heard. The love of liberty will not die. Opportunity is now at our doorstep. We need now only to mobilize the army of true believers to present the case for the principles that built America and can make her great once again. The American experiment over the past 200-plus years has provided us with the greatest amount of personal freedom and subsequent wealth known in all of history. Yet today, because of our careless attitude toward freedom and the responsibilities it requires, we face a crisis that everyone recognizes but few understand. A free society is based on the key principle that the government, the president, the Congress, the courts, and the bureaucrats are incapable of knowing what is best for each and every one of us. They don't know how to run the economy, regulate our lives, or manage a world empire. A government as a referee is proper, but a government that uses arbitrary force to direct every aspect of society threatens freedom. Such governments have failed thousands of times over the centuries. The time has come for a modern approach to achieving those values that all civilized societies seek. Only in a free society do individuals have the best chance to seek virtue, strive for excellence, improve their economic well-being, and achieve personal happiness. It is only through this personal effort that peace and freedom can be secured. The worthy goals of civilization can only be achieved by freedom-loving individuals. When government uses force, liberty is sacrificed and the goals are lost. It is freedom that is the source of all creative energy. If I am to be your president, these are the goals I would seek. I reject the notion that we need a president to run our lives, plan the economy, or police the world. Our goal always should be the preservation of liberty. It is much more important to protect individual liberty and privacy than to make government even more secretive and powerful. These goals are worth fighting for. There is hope for America. Please support me in these efforts. Thanks for listening.
And there it is, Congressman Ron Paul. Now, as I want to correct something, I misunderstood. He has not necessarily thrown his hat in the ring yet, but he is looking at doing so. But what I really particularly liked about that little tome is the hopefulness of the message. And he's right. Liberty will never die. But if we plan to preserve that, we are going to have to take some drastic and some very hard-fought steps to preserve that. And that simply means that we're going to have to look beyond our material comfort, and we are going to have to start rolling up our sleeves as Americans to get out there and put a stop to this. Make our elected representatives represent us. We want representative government. Now, the other thing I wanted to share with you, and we'll do that really quick because that'll take us right up to the news break. Here is Lou Dobbs from March 13th of 07 on the North American Union.
Well, state lawmakers tonight are asking tough questions about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, what some call the North American Union. It's a plan devised by the Council of Foreign Relations, supported by big business and government elites, to integrate the economies of the United States, Mexico, and Canada, with, of course, no congressional or voter oversight or approval. Christine Romans reports now that more than a dozen states are urging the administration to abandon their plan.
Crawford, Texas, 2005. Cancun, 2006. Ottawa, last month. At the highest level, the three North American governments are making the Security and Prosperity Partnership a top priority. Canada's foreign minister last month.
I think it's fitting that for the first time, the three of us would meet under the same roof. It's in the context of the SPP.
They're working with major companies, harmonizing regulations, they say, and working to move goods and people more safely and quickly across borders. Arizona State Senator Karen Johnson is convinced it's nothing short of a move toward a European-style North American Union. She doesn't buy the government position that the SPP is an effort to make all three countries more efficient and safe.
How can you harmonize and merge laws together with a narco state? I mean, that is what Mexico is. It's an oligarchy. It has nothing to do with the way we govern. And Canada, as nice a country as it is socialistic.
Hers is one of more than a dozen states where lawmakers are considering legislation or passing resolutions opposing the SPP. In the Illinois General Assembly, for example, a House resolution cited the, quote, open borders vision of the SPP and urged the U.S. to withdraw from any further participation in the Security and Prosperity Partnership. The administration denies it's a veil for some sort of North American Union.
We think that we have kind of created not only a trail of public events, but also a trail of very explicit documents highlighting what it is we're trying to accomplish.
But not everyone supports what they're trying to accomplish.
Lawmakers like Karen Johnson in Arizona fear an assault on sovereignty and states' rights. In Canada, the Liberals fear for their benefits and welfare system, for their social network that they have there. And from the Mexican press point of view at the Ottawa event last month, some very pointed questions and outright skepticism about whether the United States is thinking about anybody but itself in all of this.
Well, I would think that the Mexican press would give the United States great credit, taking care of 20 million of its citizens here. I mean, that seems like such a harsh view for the Mexican press to adopt. What kind of idiots are the American people that we put up with this kind of nonsense, that we tolerate a president? I can't even imagine what the Canadians are thinking. The Canadians, they've got a wonderful country, wonderful people. They're being rolled over just like we are. I just can't understand why there isn't an absolute, just straight-out statement from every American to the U.S. government. Stick it and don't pull this again.
I'm not sure what... I can't speak to the intellectual capacity of the American people or their ability to band together.
The intellectual capacity I can speak to.
Okay.
We're wonderful, smart people. But we put up with so much nonsense, it's getting to the point of disgust. Anyway, thanks for riling me up.
I'm sorry to rile up, Lou. The state lawmakers have definitely made their voice heard on this.
It's time people
got riled up. So maybe that's where the American people's voice is heard through the state legislature.
I hope that they'll get something done on this for all.
Okay, and there was that was Lou Dobbs doing a report on the NAU from March the 13th of this year, this month, just a few days back. And as he's voiced his disgust with the whole thing, I have to echo his sentiment. You know, how can the American people be so stupid as to tolerate such arrangements as these? Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to continue. Lines are open, 303-355-6593, 303-355-6593. We're going to talk a little bit, too, about what the reporter said just at the very end of that CNN piece, talking about the states' rights and states getting involved. Because, again, this is where we need to focus our attention. Is it the local, municipal, and state level? Because the big game is afoot, and it's happening right here in our own backyards. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
Veterans, use your VA benefits to buy a home. Take advantage of today's buyer's market. Jamie LaRue with Destiny Lending here. Perfect credit and down payment are not required for a VA home loan. For 10 years, I've had the honor of helping veterans achieve home ownership through a VA mortgage. Get more information on a VA loan, call Jamie at Destiny Lending, 970-214-1374. That's 970-214-1374.
It's going to be vital for us to use any means at our disposal to achieve our objective. We have to work for the dark side, if you will. We're going to spend time in the shadows in the intelligence world. A lot of what needs to be done here will have to be done quietly, without any discussion, using sources and methods that are available to our intelligence agencies.
You're listening to A Closer Look. Bringing reality into focus.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Your host, Michael Corbin.
And we continue with this of A Closer Look. Again, our lines are open. 303-355-6593. 303-355-6593. Again, our web address, www.4aclosterlook.com. Now, going back to Jacob Hornberger's editorial, The Pentagon's Power to Jail Americans Indefinitely, this is, again, a very serious, serious problem in our country, and that is the fact that the president and his cronies can now identify anyone that they choose as an enemy combatant of the United States. Now, this is exactly what they've done with Jose Padilla. Now, granted, Jose Padilla may be a terrorist, okay? If he is, the jury shall find him guilty, and he will pay for his crime. But All you have to do is, you know, transmogrify your, this Jose Padilla to one of us. And the most serious crime that we have possibly would be accused of committing would be being patriotic. But standing in the way of the dictator. Now, as Hohenberger is pointing out, Padilla has been incarcerated since May of 2002, and his trial, which is scheduled to begin in April, is not being held until some 5 years later. This guy's rotting away in a prison. Now, last Friday, the presiding judge in the case, Marcia Cook, denied Padilla's motion to dismiss. The judge held that when a person, including an American citizen, is held in custody by the Pentagon as an enemy combatant, the time doesn't start running with respect to his right to a speedy trial. It begins running, she held, only when he becomes part of the federal criminal justice system. Gee, I wonder if the judge's reasoning applies to the rest of the Bill of Rights as well. In some ways, this is evident, is it not? Maybe the First Amendment doesn't apply if it's the Pentagon that is suppressing speech and assembly as part of its perpetual war on terror. Or maybe the Second Amendment prohibits only the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, not the Pentagon, from seizing guns from the American people, as it is doing as part of the war on terror in Iraq. Now, our 18th century American ancestors would have found Judge Cook's ruling to be ludicrous. If a military department of government is exempt from the restrictions of the Bill of Rights, then the entire executive branch is exempt from the obvious reason, or for the obvious reason. Whenever the government wants to exempt itself from the Bill of Rights, all it has to do is employ the military to do the dirty deed. Now, the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to protect the American people from the federal government, not a particular department of the federal government. But what Judge Cook obviously fails to recognize is the deep antipathy to militarism and to an enormous standing military force that characterized our American ancestors. Now, unlike Judge Cook, they understand the tremendous threat to the freedom and well-being of the American people that militarism and a standing army could pose. Well, this week, Judge Cook is scheduled to rule on Padilla's motion to dismiss on the basis of the government's torture and abuse of Padilla while he was in a pretrial military confinement. It will be interesting to see if Judge Cook rules that the military is also exempt from that part of the Bill of Rights that prohibits the federal government from inflicting cruel and unusual punishments on Americans and others suspected of terrorism. Now, don't forget, Jose Padilla is an American citizen. Thus, this case continues to hold ominous implications for the American people, especially when Judge Cook's ruling is considered in conjunction with the ruling of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that upheld the government's enemy combatant designation for Americans as part of its war on terrorism. That means that whatever the government has done and continues doing to Padilla, and for that matter to every other enemy combatant in its war on terror, it has the authority to do to all Americans. Now, Judge Cook's ruling is just one more confirmation of how civil liberties have soared to the top of importance in terms of federal infringements on our freedom. Perhaps this is a good time to revisit the warning issued to the American people by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who had served as Supreme Commander of Allied Forces during World War II. Quote, and you know this quote very well, folks, okay? Excuse me. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. And that's the end of the article. And again, that was Jacob Hohenberger. He is the founder and president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, talking about, of course, you know, this very disturbing Military Commission Act of 2006, which is now law. We should be, you know, this is the thing, folks, we should be waking up and smelling the coffee here. When they did the Patriot Act 1 and 2, and they've continued going down this path, our freedoms, our liberties, have been eroded at an alarming rate to the point of non-existence. And once they get the upper hand on us, once they can see that glimmer of success, I guarantee you, they'll take the guns away, they'll take away all of our abilities to defend ourselves from a tyranny. That's it, plain and simple. Now, what is disturbing to me when we talk about the immigration issue, the illegal alien issue, is I become acutely aware that, of course, we are talking about this just about every day. It appears that our country is being invaded by foreigners. Now, when you look at the argument, the rhetoric that is bantering back and forth between the so-called open borders crowd and the anti-illegal immigration crowd, you find that, particularly on the open borders crowd, there is a very, very high-powered, wealthy, highly organized agenda driving that thing on. Now, you remember I was talking the other day about this rally that they held, the Day Without Mexicans or whatever the deal was. They had the protest rally and they had all the commies down there carrying on about, how this is their land and on and on, okay? But what was really telling is the fact that in our own, right here in Denver, okay, right in within the ranks of our government, our tax dollars are going for some what I would consider to be very nefarious things, right? Lisa Duran, I don't recall the other woman's name, that is part of the Denver city government. These are the people that are exacting their agenda using our tax dollars to do it. We are failing to demand accountability on the part of John Hickenlooper and other mayors and other towns in the Denver metro area that is providing sanctuary for illegal aliens. And not only that, the complete depletion of welfare resource that would otherwise probably be going to Americans, these people are absolutely just having an orgy with our dollars. And we have got to stop it. Now, I found from the immigrationwatchdog.com website, I found a 7.5-minute soundbite I want to play. Because this talks about a couple of guys in California. One of them you'll immediately recognize as the current mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa. Now, I listen to this kind of stuff, and I find out, who these guys are, where they started their political careers. It's amazing to me that the American people are so ignorant or stupid that they allow these kinds, I call them traitors. Villaraigosa is a traitor. He is elected to the job of the city of Los Angeles as the mayor. He's got all kinds of strange characters around him, and this report that I'm going to play illustrates that point. So let's go listen to that real quick.
Marcos Aguilar, the principal and founder of the Academia Semillas de Pueblo School, and Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa are both former members of the UCLA chapter of MECHA. MECHA was founded for the sole purpose of radicalizing young Latino students with a hatred for America, Chicano pride, and separatism. Returning the American Southwest to Mexico was the stated goal in the late 60s when MECHA was founded. But today they seek nothing less than control of the United States, either by ballot box or by armed revolution. While Antonio Villaraigosa was president of the UCLA chapter of MECHA, he engineered the removal of the director of the Chicano Study Center. Antonio claimed the director was trying to alter the concept behind Chicano Studies by refusing to include the communist Chicano group, National Committee to Free Los Tres. Antonio demanded communist inclusion within UCLA's Chicano Study Center. In 1993, as a member of MECHA, Marcos Aguilar, along with other Chicano radicals, trashed the faculty center, causing $50,000 in damage. Marcos and 9 other students then went on a 2-week hunger strike demanding that Chicano Studies program be given departmental status. They sought the creation of a Chicano Studies major at UCLA, and eventually the school chancellor gave in.
When I was a high school teacher at Garfield High School, one of the largest high schools in the state, most of the Mexican children there had lost the sense of identity because its own administration and the general policy of the Los Angeles Unified School District is in fact to Americanize Mexican and African American children in Los Angeles. And they would argue that that's good. I believe that that's not good.
Today, Marcos Aguilar runs his own charter school for grades K through 8. The school is funded by state taxpayers and the National Council of La Raza, or the race. Most of the students are children of illegal aliens. They are taught Chicano pride, Aztec mythology, and Aztec math. The school teaches primarily in Spanish, but it also teaches Mandarin and the ancient native language Nahua, which is now used by members of the Mexican mafia.
Nowhere in the Constitution of the United States or in the Declaration of Independence does it say that because you come here, you have to now become an American.
English, math, and American history take a backseat to Danza Azteca, a traditional form of Aztec Indian dance. This is Marcos Aguilar beating the drum on July 4, 1996. Americans had gathered to celebrate Independence Day and rally against illegal immigration. Marcos Aguilar was there along with other Chicano radicals in protest.
And we claim this land is ours, it's always been ours, and we're still here. And none of this talk about deporting. If anybody's going to be deported, it's going to be you.
American citizens were brutally attacked by illegal aliens and communist Chicano radicals.
When the officers departed, then all hell broke loose.
This is what they do to American citizens. They destroy us. They hurt us.
They just hate America and anything America stands for. The United States is who is the immigrant here, not us.
Marcos' school earned the lowest possible scores on the statewide academic performance index, meriting a 1 on a scale of 10.
Go back to the Plymouth Rock!
It also ranked the lowest out of all charter schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District.
They may not score the highest on NTIA, but the success there is that they didn't commit suicide and that they graduated from high school.
The people united will never be defeated!
If not committing suicide is a measure of success for Marcos Aguilar, then he must be extremely proud of Juan Alvarez, seen here dancing beside him. Marcos Aguilar taught at Garfield High School, where he met Juan Alvarez. This is a yearbook photo of Aguilar in the Danza Azteca group that he founded. On the opposite page is Juan Alvarez in the Mecha Club. In January of 2005, Juan Alvarez parked his Jeep Grand Cherokee on the Metrolink railroad tracks in Glendale, California. He then stood by as an approaching passenger train smashed into it. The train derailed into another train traveling in the opposite direction. 11 people were killed and nearly 200 were injured. After the crash, Alvarez raised his arms into the air and fell to his knees. He then fled the scene and visited a friend from the Danza Azteca dance group. He poked himself in the arms and chest with a pair of scissors, which at first had some believing that he had tried to commit suicide on the tracks. But the wounds were only superficial, and eyewitness accounts along with evidence at the scene pointed out that Alvarez had doused the interior and exterior of the vehicle in gasoline. He was hoping that the vehicle would explode on impact. If Alvarez wasn't trying to commit suicide, why did he leave his SUV on the tracks? And why did he poke himself with scissors enough to bleed but not enough to cause serious injury? One explanation was that he was trying to get the attention of his ex-wife. Of course, he could have just bought her flowers if that was his intention. It is reported that Juan Alvarez often dressed as an Indian in his everyday life, much the way Marcos Aguilar does. Perhaps a better explanation of why Juan Alvarez murdered 11 innocent people is because he took his Aztec beliefs to the extreme. In ancient Aztec society, human sacrifice and bloodletting are the primary forms of ritual. The gods sacrificed themselves to create the world and sun, and they offered their own blood to create people. Humankind owed a tremendous debt to the gods, and this debt could only be discharged through frequent offerings of human blood. The Aztecs accomplished this duty through human sacrifice and bloodletting. They would cut themselves until they bled. In 2006, KABC reporter Sandy Wells was assaulted when he tried to interview Marcos Aguilar. Marcos refused to speak with him, and as the reporter walked back to his car, he was nearly run down by a vehicle that drove up onto the sidewalk. He was tackled to the ground by the driver, and the audio tape was stolen from his voice recorder. When news of the assault hit the mainstream press, the school became notorious. Its unusual teaching practices and failing test scores were impossible to defend, but Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa issued a statement. He supported the school and its teaching philosophy. Even though it focused on Chicano pride, hatred for America, and racial separatism, he said it was protected by the First Amendment right of free speech.
Continue. Again, that was a very disturbing report, and of course the video that goes with it is equally disturbing. And of course, you know, I remember the incident in 2005 when that clown parked his SUV on the tracks and the train slammed into it. You know, it was interesting. When I read something like that or I hear something like this, what comes to mind is terrorism. Does it not to you? But keep in mind that apparently this form of terrorism is acceptable to our federal government, simply because the news is out on the street again. Of course, that the Carnegie Foundation has given a bunch of money, and they continue to support La Raza, Mecha, LULAC, a whole host of other what I would consider communist or Marxist-Leninist ignorant people that have no clue about what. Authentic history is about. They just they make a steady diet of revisionist history, and of course this is kind of like a very, very interesting mix that is added to this whole thing. But what I really find disturbing, and this is kind of the thing I wanted to bring up about this tonight, what I find really disturbing is that the people, the United States, the American people, we're supposed to be the watchers of the tower, or the watchers at the tower, or watchers of the wall, if you will. We've completely fallen down on that. Because, you know, when you look at something like the unhappy election, and my way of looking at it, Villaraigosa as the mayor of Los Angeles, that is the epitome of American stupidity, electing a guy like that, not carefully scrutinizing his background. Now, as I said, the video that goes with this is very disturbing, and when you look at this, you realize that there's pictures of Villaraigosa in 1974 raising all kinds of communist doctrine, agitating as they call that, thoroughly indoctrinated into Marxist-Leninist beliefs. Now, you've heard those anti-American statements that we used to play. Maybe I'll cue up some of them here. But, folks, what really is disturbing to me is this, all right? Not only are we electing traitors that are getting into positions of public trust, not only are we electing these traitors, but these traitors are free to just do as they please with our tax dollars. Bringing that around to our infamous Mayor John Hickenlooper, who actually just he disgusts me, constantly patting himself on the back, talking about all of the wonderful things that he's done, when in reality he has destroyed the city of Denver. And what really disturbs me is that, you know, just like the El Centro, that in my way of looking at it, it's absolutely a fraudulent, illegal operation. Because what they are doing, and again, the mayor has given them thousands upon thousands of dollars to break the law. Your tax dollars. Liberally handed out to these people to promote illegal alien labor. Because if you ever drive down El Centro down there in downtown any time of the morning or afternoon, it would amaze you. That whole area down there has been turned into a little Mexico, complete with Spanish signs. I mean, it's like stepping into a time portal. It's like going back, a couple of hundred years to the Wild West. I mean, it's kind of starting to look like some of the ghettos in the Denver metro area, like Aurora, some parts of Aurora, northern Aurora, you know, east, extreme east Denver, off of Colfax and north. And what's really frightening here is that we are not paying attention. We're not paying attention to who our government, elected government officials are appointing to posts within the government. We're not paying attention to what they're doing. It's almost like sleight of hand, that kind of thing. It is like, you know, the idea of don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. I mean, I find it outrageous that within the city and county of Denver government, right under the tutelage and the all-seeing eye of Hickenlooper, we have people like Lisa Duran. We have people like this woman that runs this one particular office that was in the middle of that protest. Because you understand that these agitators, these Leninist, Marxist, communist, socialist agitators, they have nothing else on their mind but the violent overthrow of our government. And I think also that we have to be very, very careful, because one of the things I think that could easily take place here, looking at these videotapes of rallies that were held in Los Angeles last year, Southern California, I began to realize that, you know, this could really be a flashpoint for civil war. Now, some of you out there are probably, oh, I'd love to see that happen, but my warning to you is this. Always remember that while this is possibly purposefully being done, agitating and trying to create civil disobedience and civil strife, making racial tension and all of this, keep in mind that we've also had, the government's been using huge amounts of our tax dollars, developing technologies to control crowds. They've developed technologies how to essentially clamp down, throw the switch, if you will, and declare martial law. And I think that is what they want. You know, I firmly believe that if there are two pretexts in the United States right now that could bring about the North American Union and bring about the dissolution of our sovereign United States, it would be a financial collapse, which that's already, you know, is in the works, and two, a civil war. Those two things would create enough panic that I think the American people would be begging for the government to save them. We've got to stop this, save us. You know, that kind of thing. And I think it's a very, very dangerous game that we play. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue. Again, lines are open, 303-355-6593, 303-355-6593. Web address, www.4aclosterlook.com. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back after news.
Angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and...
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Buy sooner. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
On Wall Street, stocks are mixed at this hour after opening lower. We'll have all the numbers for you later in this news. You're listening to IRN.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call for your free copy of The Bad Breath Bible while supplies last. You'll also receive free TheraBreath samples, an amazing line of products that completely eliminates bad breath. Call for your free samples now. 800-747-7122. 800-747-7122. That's 800-747-7122.
The Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from Guantanamo detainees who want to mount a court challenge to their five-year-long confinement. The decision's a victory for the Bush administration and its legal strategy in the fight against terrorism, but it may be one that's short-lived as the court has twice previously extended legal protections to prisoners at the U.S. Naval Base in Cuba. They were seized as potential terrorists following the 9/11 attack, but only 10 so far have been charged with a crime. And despite earlier rulings, none of the roughly 385 detainees has had a hearing in a civilian court challenging his detention. That's because the administration has moved aggressively to limit the legal rights of prisoners that it has labeled enemy combatants. A new industry report from the airlines finding that problems with bumped passengers and delayed flights and lost luggage have grown for the third year in a row. One industry spokesman says it's only going to get worse. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNnews.com.
Have you ever thought about how to avoid becoming poor?
Your money, your future could be your answer. Dr. Larry B.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled. jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to...
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
I'm Eric Cederstrom. You got it, Bunky. CEO, shipping clerk, and Jen are broadcasting live on a beautiful Monday morning here back from vacation. We also have Everyday Joe, Double J. So the blind leading the stupid are riding together again. And it's good to be back. Well, I needed the time off. Get healed up here and get your thoughts gathered. You're listening to the Patriot Radio News Hour brought to you by the Patriot Trading Group. 1-800-951-0592. Don't forget our website at www.allamericangold.com, updated daily. Joe is working on, he's going to become the new podmaster.
Yes.
We're going to start putting those up directly here. Heidi, the web babe's been teaching them.
She's been trying to educate me, and of course that's a risky proposition. So.
The last email I sent her, I go, it's a little tough to teach old dogs new tricks around here.
but believe it or not, I've actually, took me a couple of weeks. I finally think I've got it ready to roll. Hopefully the podcast will be up and rolling by Friday.
What a mess this country's in. I mean, it's a mess, unbelievable. You talk about a country in denial. That you look at the economic decimation, and which continuing, going parabolic. The news again, the economic news this morning is horrible. They try to spin it. But when you go over to California, which we did, we took the motor home and kind of camped all around, and gas lines are starting to form over there. At $3.50 gasoline, you're starting to see it. Matter of fact, the Flying J on Saturday on Interstate 10 in Blythe was out of fuel, except for premium, at $3.90 a gallon. They seem to have plenty of that.
They somehow managed to have some of that laying around. Of course, several different refineries. Well, they catch on fire, apparently, quite often in California.
We had a lot of fires the last year, mostly in the real estate market. A few well-placed infernos. The market's all over the board this morning as well. But people are in denial. You look at, I pulled all the real estate flyers. I try not to read too much, but I like to see what's going on over in the land of the big PX. And I was looking at... it's so interesting because you look at like these real estate magazines and it says foreclosure investors at all these auctions. You ought to see it over there. It's just a disaster. The real estate signs are everywhere. They can't sell everything. And you got guys in the same neighborhood going investor special, but yet three houses down the street are in foreclosure. This is the one you want to step in and buy though. I mean, it's, people don't believe that this may be coming to an end. And what it's going to take with it is the question. You look everywhere, I mean, subprime, I don't care who you are. But credit card debt is skyrocketing. Because why? Well, this is the last bastion. And ultimately, we're going into an economic cycle that, listening to like Ron Paul, that this may be the final economic cycle for the U.S. Federal Reserve note, but with mortgage lenders pulling back, and this is how the Wall Street Journal and some working class Americans are already finding it harder to buy a new home, or refinance the one they already own. And that's where the problem lies. The big question now for the nation's economy is, will it also get harder for these consumers to buy cars, shop at the mall, or dine out? I find it interesting that the credit card, they're still out there. People are still out there. They're still in denial. They're driving. They're going on vacation. They're staying busy, doing like what they've always done, being good consumers, buying up the Chinese goods that are out there, even though it's fallen precipitously, and you're starting to see massive layoffs in the public stock-traded retail sector, such as Circuit City. But ultimately, when they can't go back to the well, this is where the problems will lie. When they cannot go back to the ATM, which I believe has come to an abrupt halt. But yet, again, you read the mortgage guide in the Arizona Republic on Sunday, it still all says the same thing. New in town, bad knees, ugly wife, can't pay your bills, bad credit score, repossessions, finance, foreclosures. We don't care. We got a mortgage for you. That still says that out there, even though, from what I understand from my friends in the industry, that they're not closing on them now.
Right, yeah, and the lending standards are getting much tougher, and it's like you said, when you can't go back to that well, what's going to happen next?
Well, I find it interesting that, of course, the day of easy credit, which is what we've been through. Now, the American families, subprime borrowers, consumers with poor or sketchy credit histories, have been able to use the combination of rising home prices and easy credit to live far beyond their means, as wages have stagnated here in America. Wall Street Journal, ladies and gentlemen. All right, fine. I can tell you right now that we've subscribed to this paper this millennium, and this is the first article that I've read that says that somehow, miraculously, Americans are not getting paid enough. Go figure. Stagnating wages. That spending has helped fuel the U.S. economy's growth through asset appreciation. What have I been preaching to you here? Now, before, when Joe was on vacation, and I was doing the show, not last week, but the week before, Ben Bernanke, you know, the guy who's in charge of printing money at will, said one of the great aspects of the American economy is how well the markets work, and the access to credit is the number one pillar for the U.S. consumer.
Right. Of all the things,
right,
the one with the most importance,
yep,
is the ability for the U.S. consumer to get credit. In other words, increase their debt load.
No down payment on your low down payment. Well, troubles plaguing lenders and borrowers with risky mortgages may challenge the notion that widespread access to credit is always a good thing, according to Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke.
Wait a minute.
Oh, hold on.
Wait a minute. First he said the great pillar, the great society is the foundation is access to credit.
One week later
he's saying that maybe that's not such a good thing.
Not such a good idea.
Because it's kind of funny because when you were on vacation, the number two guy at the Fed when Alan Greenspan was running things, a guy who said he was a free trader down to his toes, came out and said, you know, all that free trade stuff, maybe we were wrong, and that isn't such a good thing.
Well, look, the Dow peeled off 100 points almost instantly because they were going to put a tariff on what?
Glossy paper.
Now,
the question was, what the heck is glossy paper? So I Googled glossy paper. Apparently, glossy paper, that's like magazines, the paper in magazines, photo paper, stuff like that. That is glossy paper. And apparently, that must have a huge ramification in the economy of the United States because you saw Wall Street peel off. You saw the dollar get completely hammered by this. And, of course, the question is, what are we going to do when we actually slap a tariff on things like toasters and blenders?
Well, it's interesting. We figured out what glossy paper was. Magazines. So you people with those hustlers, they might get hard to get. Hey, we'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Hi, this is Michael Golden. Danny and I would like to invite you to join us for a special night of Messianic praise and worship music and dance. It'll be this Saturday, April the 7th at 7 p.m. The place, 3J's, Johnstown Java and Jams here in Johnstown, Colorado. Seating is limited, so you do need to make advance reservations. There will be a $7 love offering taken at the door. So we invite you to join us once again, April the 7th, 7 p.m., 3J's. See you there.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6255.
Cedarstrom, the new and improved Eric Cedarstrom with 9 days off. Man, it was great. Needed it. You know, you got to get the batteries recharged every now and then. Then you go into the news time warp. Yeah, you miss a lot. And it's great, too, because you're just like, I came back today. I'm like, what? What happened? Joe's like, oh, yeah, Intel, they're leaving America. Dell, yeah, they can't file their securities earnings this month. I'm like, what? 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 What the heck's going on? It's a mess. You know, and very few people are addressing it. And here's where the real problem lies, ladies and gentlemen. What's the biggest threat to the economy? Housing slump? You think so? No. Therein lies the greatest potential to derail consumer spending. Well, think again, Bunky. Amid all the headlines about builders' woes, sagging home prices, shaky subprime mortgages, there's some trouble brewing in another sector. And more crucial to the outlook, capital spending. Business outlays for new equipment and facilities have collapsed over the past year. The more important because when businesses expand their operations, they also add to their payrolls, job growth, da-da-da-da-da. Now, we all know that the job growth's out there for minimum wage, or it was. I believe that's contracting as well.
Just look at the news from Circuit City. Here's your job growth. We're going to take 3,400 of our best-paid workers, fire them, and rehire people for minimum wage in its place. I mean, that's the job growth that you see out here.
Now you're starting to see numbers compared to the fourth quarter of 01. Okay, this is the numbers. This is how fast this thing has turned around, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, in the fourth quarter of 01, I need not explain to you what happened. Now, of course, the only way that they're going to save this, and this is why the American consumer's out there still charging, and, well, he has to. Because he has no job growth, he has no job security, and all he has was his multiple houses that he's able to refi, and now they're telling him no. So he's running up his credit cards. Right. By the way, and don't forget, fourth quarter 01, what was going on? Yeah, well, they were starting to foreclose on houses all over up in the North Valley here. And so what you had was the Fed stepped in. All right, Alan Greenspan created another bubble. But consumers now are piling up credit card debt at the fastest pace since you got it, since late 2001. And the reason? Well, of course, we all know the reason. because the ATM isn't spitting out tax-free money anymore.
Yeah,
because
that's all they did. They'd rack up the credit cards, go to the ATM and refi the house, pay the credit cards off, rack them up again, go to the ATM, pay it off, rack them up again. Well, now they've racked them up again, but now they can't go back to the ATM.
In January alone, credit card debt rose $52.7 billion in the United States. Now, that's up 6.4% from a year ago. Consumers have not racked up revolving debt at that clip since late 2001, and the pace looks to set an even quicken in February, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, again, you have to look at this with common sense. Okay, what's really going on in America? I mean, how many companies do we have to read that are leaving America?
Well, I mean, it's amazing when you talk about it. You got the consumer who's going deeper into the hole, and now Business Week comes out and says U.S. corporations aren't playing and doing their part. They're the ones that are supposed to be taking over for the consumer, doing R&D, opening new plants, hiring new workers, and they're not doing it.
Well, even so, this is where we're heading into. This is going to be much worse than Japan, much worse than the Great Depression, where they took mortgage rates to zero in Japan. The real estate market continued to fall.
There are lots
under.
Of different ways
now,
that you can improve the performance of your computer.
Real estate. And
you can get a faster processor, you can add a lot of RAM,
way,
you can tweak it with MSPC.
Now,
but the other side of the coin
is
productivity.
And
if you want to increase productivity...
I mean, this is how bad that it's gotten. But yet, what's going on? Well, the banks are financing project after project after project after...